We look forward to seeing you at 2 Days of Truth being presented by Beyond Labels. It's our fourth annual 2 Days of Truth Summit. This year's theme is Detox is for Everybody. We're bombarded by everything from chemtrails to EMFs to pesticides, herbicides, even toxic people. We're going to deal with all of these aspects at the 2 Days of Truth Summit coming up. Sina, give us the final information.
I'm really excited about this summit. I think this is going to be our best one yet. It's June 14th and 15th at Polyphase Farm. We have some fantastic speakers like Sayer G, the founder of Green Med Info, Dr. Leland Stillman, who's been featured by Wise Traditions lately, Hilda Labrador, affectionately known as Holistic Hilda, you and me, of course. We also have, for the first time ever, a kids and teens program. So now the adults can enjoy the adult side while they know that their kids and their teens are having fun while also being educated by Joel, myself, and Hilda. It's going to be a blast. And this year, what we're going to do is we're going to actually teach you ancient and modern techniques for how to detoxify the body, mind, and spirit. And we're going to help you put together a personalized plan, like an action plan that you can take home and start. As soon as you arrive home, you can implement this action plan and start your detoxing.
You know, listen, folks, Polyphase is only 8 hours from half of the U.S. population. Take a long weekend, come join us, and you'll rub shoulders with other like-minded people, find our tribe, and be encouraged. It's a lonely place out there lots of times, especially if you're a bit of a maverick. So come and spend time with other mavericks and get encouraged, inspired, and enthused about living a more healthy life.
So I love the topic for this year, detoxification. It is one of the most important topics that we could ever address at our health summit. Because as Joel mentioned, everyone, every single person needs to know how to detoxify their body, mind, and spirit in order to achieve optimal health and wellness. If you look at a journal article, they are required to list conflicts of interest and funding sources. Now, this is a source of fraud because failure to disclose the financial or personal conflicts of interest are sometimes not reported, right? Sometimes these things are not reported. And I'll give you an example too. Even the government sometimes does not report these things. So let me talk a little bit about funding source fraud, okay? So lots of studies and lots of articles have been published about how commercial sponsorship of research affects what is studied and how it is studied. It also affects what research is actually going to get published for the public. Okay. Usually, when research does not further the commercial interest, it's not likely to, number one, attract more funding, and it's not likely to see the light of day. So you're probably not going to see it. So, that means if the scientist was funded by some commercial outlet, by industry, for instance, and the results were not favorable, it's probably not going to be published. Okay, so we won't ever know. So,
well, you know, Sina, it also means that 99% of the research that's undertaken is undertaken at the behest of an agenda, which means that just pure, I would call pure research for the fun of learning, just for the fun of, hey, let's throw some stuff up against the wall and see what sticks. That is almost gone. There's very little just pure curiosity research. It's very specifically driven. So, you know, if nobody's interested in this topic, nobody's interested in this thing, then it never gets researched.
That's right. That's exactly right. So that actually happened to me in graduate school. The professor I was working with, he was trying to contradict a currently accepted theory in exercise physiology. Okay. Because he was contradicting an accepted mainstream theory, he could not get any funding. Okay. So he actually died when I started grad school. And then I made him the promise that I would pick up his research because otherwise it would die with him. And so I changed what I was studying and started studying his topic. And I couldn't get any funding for it either. Even though I piggybacked with professors who were reputable in the field, nobody would fund the research. So I ended up going through grad school with no funding. And basically, that's how I became a TA, a teaching assistant. And thank goodness I did, because that is what gave me such a profoundly solid background in biochemistry, because that's what I ended up teaching to get myself through grad school. But the point is, if it's not a favorable topic, you already have that resistance head on that you can't get the funding. So scientists, you know, when I decided to become a scientist, I was under this false illusion that it was still a pursuit of truth, right? That you got to work in academia and basically pick a topic that you are passionate about. And you got to design these studies with trying to remove as much bias as possible and simply try to find the truth in that question, right? In the answer to that question. That's not actually the reality of science. So you have to appease the funding agencies, because if you don't get funding, you get fired, in essence, right? You have to have funding to have your lab. And as you were saying, there's a lot of funding now that is commercially based. So industry is funding these scientists. Industry is funding academic departments, for instance. And in fact, there are entire companies that are set up to pay scientists to produce results that are favorable to the industry. So for instance, there is a Canadian firm, this came out of the Monsanto court trials with glyphosate. We found out that there is a Canadian firm that was hired to recruit scientists specifically to publish studies that would defend glyphosate. Okay, so companies now are set up to hire scientists to defend certain positions of these companies. And in fact, in that case, some of those studies that those scientists created were actually reviewed by Monsanto before they were ever published. Okay, so deep ties. Now, I found this article in the Journal of Medical Association. They said that the odds of a commercially sponsored study favoring the sponsor's product is 3.6 to 4 times greater than if it was studied without the commercial funding. So about 4 times greater, it's going to promote it. Now, I wrote about this in my first book in terms of aspartame, right? Aspartame was marketed under the name NutraSweet. And by 1995, aspartame was extensively studied. There were about 165 peer-reviewed studies that looked at its safety at that point. About half of those found no problems, okay? 100% of those studies were funded by the manufacturer. In contrast, the independent funding sources that studied aspartame, out of those, 92% of them found problems with it. Okay, so that's just one example of the influence of corporate industry.